Monday Manna Bible Study.
All right. We trust that each of you are having a blessed day. Let us know that the signal is coming in clear and that you're on point as we prepare for our time together tonight. As we always say, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Excuse the noise in the background as we are yet making our way to prepare for this time together tonight. And so we bless God and we yet give him praise, and we thank him for including us in his plan for this day. And so this is a day that we have an opportunity to rejoice and be glad in. So let us know you're getting a clear signal as we are logging on. And we're certainly grateful for each of you. Here it is, the, what day is it, Lady Kim? It's the third day of April. Mm-hmm. I tell you, March is come and gone. And here we are now embarking upon April. And believe it or not, this is Holy Week. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
And so we are in celebration mode, and we're in countdown mode as we prepare for Resurrection Sunday. I tell you, time really goes by fast, but we praise God for sustaining us in the midst of everything that we are yet going through, and how he continues to keep us even in spite of ourselves. Lady Kim, will you go ahead as I prepare to take care of a little business right quick?
All right. And so as Pastor said, we are glad to just be on tonight and to spend this time with you as April has come in. And you know what they say? They say April showers bring May flowers. So we endured some storms a couple of days ago, and I hear some storms are coming our way again. But, you know, we thank God for the sunshine and the rain. So as we prepare for Bible study on tonight, we are going to be looking at First Chronicles, the 21st chapter. We're going to try to get through the entire 21st chapter of First Chronicles. All right. And so what we're going to do is we are going to we're going to kind of review what's going what happened on yesterday. So we had an awesome time in the worship service on yesterday. Man, the Holy Ghost came in a powerful way on yesterday. And so we just thank God that he shows up and shows out every now and then in the most powerful way. And so on yesterday,
do you have prayer already?
No, I didn't have prayer already. So right, we're going to stop and have a word of prayer. Pastor's going to pray us in.
All right. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we yet give you praise. Thank you for this day and thank you for our lives at this very moment. Thank you for sustaining us throughout this day. And now here we are preparing ourselves to learn more and to study your word, to show ourselves approved. So we ask your blessings now to be upon us. We pray for each person that will participate and be a part of this time together. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So you're about to start talking about what happened in the worship experience on yesterday.
Yes. We had an awesome time in the Lord. As you know, yesterday was Palm Sunday.
That's right.
And Palm Sunday is when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so Pastor preached on a passage that talks about Palm Sunday, mm-hmm, and the activities, some of the activities that took place on Palm Sunday. And so he preached praise under attack, praise under attack. And he asked a phenomenal question. Is your praise under attack? Is your praise under attack? And the scripture was Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 29 through 44. Although I don't think you went all the way through 44. But you just highlighted some of those highlighted some of the passage of scripture that really honed in on Palm Sunday. And so it was the passage of scripture where Jesus sent two of his disciples into the village and told them to go. And as they entered, they were going to find a colt or a young horse or donkey tied on which no one had ever sat. And he said, loose it and bring it here. And if anybody asks you why you are doing this, why you're loosing it, say unto them, because the Lord hath need of it. And so sure enough, as the disciples went and found the colt, someone asked them, you know, why are you loosing the colt? And they told them exactly what Jesus said. But when they took the colt back to Jesus, he got on it and was beginning to ride into Jerusalem. And the people there were so excited to see Jesus coming. They spread their coats and garments on the street. They had palm branches, waved palm branches in the air, and they began to praise God with a loud voice for all the works that they had seen. You know, Jesus had done many miracles and performed many miracles, and they had witnessed that. And so they were praising him, you know, saying glory to God in the highest, in the highest. And but some of the Pharisees called out to them and said, told them to, you know, make them be quiet.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And so primarily what we were trying to focus in on was how significant the praise was. It was not so much the Pharisees complaining about what they were calling Jesus or the demonstration that took place as he entered into Jerusalem, but they were more concerned about the praise. And I think it's so it is with us even today, how many times we neglect one of the disciplines in our spiritual development of praising God. And we worship God, and we ought to also praise him. And our praise signifies the fact that we are appreciative for what God has done. And we thank him for what he's doing. And so these Pharisees, they were a part of the multitude that at one point was all in agreement with what was happening as Jesus was making his way. But then all of a sudden it kind of turned because of the impact that Jesus had and how the people who you said earlier had seen the mighty works that he had performed. And so it is with us, Lady Kim. I believe that, you know, when we see what God has done, when we know how God has made a way, when we know how God has provided, then we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give him praise. And so they were praising God because of the mighty works that he had performed. And his momentum was of such till it was steamrolling at this time, even as he was making his way for his final week on earth.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And so you had some significant points that you covered. Your first point was don't allow the crowd to muffle your praise.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and sometimes, you know, I thought about when you said that the crowd mentality. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll do something by yourself, mm-hmm. you know, but when you get in a crowd, you want to do something, but the crowd is urging you to do something else. And so a lot of times people go with the crowd instead of with what in their gut they're supposed to do.
Okay.
And so that's how it is with our praise, that sometimes we get around people and, you know, they looking all upside your head crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't need to be making all that noise and doing all of that. And so because you don't want to be ridiculed, you withhold your praise.
Okay. Okay.
And so your point was don't allow the crowd to muffle your praise or stifle your praise.
That's right.
So one thing that I think about all the time is that not to look around at the crowd.
When
you're in the worship or when you want to praise God, you get into a praise and worship mode.
Okay.
And don't worry about anybody else or what anybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, don't allow the enemy to convince you to keep quiet. That was the second point.
Okay, okay. All tied in.
Right.
Because we made reference to the praise police and how many times if you like get off track in terms of understanding that your praise is directed to God, so you shouldn't be focused on what people are saying and what people are doing. Mm-hmm. But if you take your eyes off of God and start focusing on the crowd, then you'll find yourself looking at what people's expressions are of mm-hmm. what you are doing. And I call them praise police, how they can disrupt what you are trying to give God, because they'll give you the cross eye or they'll look at you kind of funny and cause you to miss out on what's significant and what's important to God. You got some comments there?
Yeah. Dr. Q says, sit on the front row and don't look back.
That's a good one.
That's a good way to, ignore people.
That's right.
And then
That's
she
right.
said, point number two, don't allow the praise police to stifle your praise. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes. And some people start focusing on other folks and they take their eyes off the prize.
Right.
And they end up missing God and they end up not really praising God as they should, because they're more concerned about what other people are saying than they are about how God appreciates the praise. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And that's how important it is. When a corporate praise happens, and we made reference to that, then God sits in the midst of that. And as a result, people are delivered and healed and set free.
Amen.
And I think that, and I think on that last point about release the sound, mm-hmm. there's a sound that's connected to your praise.
Amen.
That the enemy, I believe, confuses the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And it releases the presence of God in the situation.
Amen. And we witnessed that on yesterday.
We witnessed it. That's right.
Oh, my God. When we started praising and uttering praises to God and saying hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, did not the Holy Spirit swoop in and take over, take control? Amen. And it said, you said, when we merge our praise together, some powerful things happen.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
And something certainly powerful happened on yesterday.
What was it? Some 6 or 7 people came and surrender and rededication and baptism and new members joined. And Dr. Qualis was introducing one and others came. And I told her to leave the mic on, leave the mic on, because God was not through. And I tell you, our hearts were filled with joy. And we have about 3 candidates for baptism. And we have some new members who came forth and one who rededicated and came back home. And so God has a way. And so even in an atmosphere where praise is going up and where it's a corporate opportunity for us together in response to all that God has done, I believe that sound that's released, when we release that sound, the enemy takes flight, because he can't stand the sound of our praise.
Yes. You know, I don't know who wrote that song, but it says there's a praise on the inside
mm-hmm.
that I can't keep to myself.
My.
A holler stirring up from the depths of
my
soul.
Sing it, Reverend.
Excuse me if I act a little something silly or something strange, but praise is the way to say thanks. I think that's what it is.
Is that how it goes?
I don't know. You know, I don't know words. I'm just making it up. But it's something like that. But it's in reference
a praise
to praise
on the inside.
Yeah, then
I can't. Gotta get it out.
Yes, I can't keep it to myself.
Can't keep it to myself.
A holler stirring up.
Wow.
From the depths of my soul.
That's it. I feel that, Reverend. I feel that in you today.
It says, excuse me if I act a little giddy.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me if I act a
Somebody
little giddy.
Somebody say J. Moss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yes. But, you know, praise is the way to say thanks.
Yes. Yes. And so we ought not allow that to be absent from our disciplines. And we ought to release the sound even if we are going through a difficult time, because praise can and it will change your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to praise God not just when we receive the blessing, not just when things are going well, not just when we have a pocket full of money, but we ought to praise God even when situations are not going accordingly to what we are anticipating God doing. Mm-hmm. And I decree and I declare that just like it happened on yesterday, that God will step in the midst of your praise. He inhabits the praise of his people. He'll sit down. That's what that translates into. He'll sit down right in the middle of your praise. Mm-hmm. And when God sits in the middle of your praise, something powerful will happen in your situation.
Amen. And I've said it before, but there's a difference between praise and worship.
That's right.
We praise God. We worship God for who he is, we praise God for what he's done for us.
That's right.
And has not God done some marvelous things? I just get excited if I just think about today.
That's right.
And the things that he's done today.
Yeah.
I was on my way to work this morning and traveling next to an 18-wheeler. And do you know he started getting over on me?
Wow.
And I started blowing the horn. And he still kept getting it. And it just so happened there were no cars in the lane,
Jesus,
in my right lane. And I swerved right quick, you know, to get out of his way. I was right there at his front wheel.
And he probably in that blind spot.
Probably was, but mm-hmm. he was getting on. And I saw him starting to get, I said, is this truck getting over? And I laid on my horn. And he just kept getting over. He just pushed me all the way over to the...
Wow.
When I think about that, that could have been...
Jesus.
Horrible accident.
That's right.
But God. And usually the traffic is really heavy at that point as I go to work in the morning. You know, traffic in all lanes. But on this morning, my God, there was no traffic in that lane, and I was able to get over. I praise God
for him
allowing me to avoid that accident. That's enough to give God praise for.
Hallelujah.
Like that.
Come on, somebody, you know, give God some praise,
yes,
right there.
And I think that's a big thing, but you know, when I opened my eyes this morning,
I
gave God praise.
That's right.
Because somebody didn't wake up on this side
of the dirt. Thank you, God.
Amen?
Thank you, God. So what's the difference between praise and worship again, Lady Kim?
We worship God for who he is.
All right.
He is our Jehovah Jireh,
our provider. God.
He is our healing. He is our peace. He is our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He is whatever you want him to be. That's what he is. And we worship him for who he is.
Thank you, God.
But we praise him for what he's done.
For what he's done. So when I think, it causes me
to thank.
And so we have to remember that, because we should not never forget what the Lord has done.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of his goodness.
Yes, Lord.
And all he's done for me.
Yes.
My soul immediately cries out. And I tell you, it can happen at any place, anytime, anywhere, because it's not confined. Your praise is not confined to the sanctuary, nor is it confined to your house. Just like in the car today, a praise can come forth as a result of when you begin to think of all that mm-hmm. God has done.
Yes, and Dr. Q added something else onto that. We praise God for what he has done and what he will do.
That's right.
And
that's
what
right.
he will do. Because I'm expecting God to do some awesome things in my life. So I'm not going to wait until I receive the manifestation.
That's
I'm going to give
that's
God
good.
Praise right
mm-hmm.
now for what is to come, because I know I serve a good God.
Hallelujah.
And if I serve a good God, God is going to look out for me.
All right. What is our good friend in Los Angeles saying there,
Dr. Lamar Clark said, he wrote the song, when praises go up, blessings come down.
Yes. Glory God. So we have to continue to keep praise in our arsenal.
Yes.
And we ought not neglect the fact that that's very much a part of the disciplines that's necessary in order for us to be complete and for us to be complete in what God has called forth for us to do.
Amen. I'm expecting great things too, Minister Loretta.
Glory,
hallelujah.
God. Glory.
Expecting great things.
All right. So that was a great start as we prepare for, here we are Monday of this Holy Week, and we're reflecting and making room for preparation for Good Friday. This was a very trying and difficult time in the life of Jesus, his last week on earth before he went to the cross for your sins and for mine, for our sins, if you will. And early that Easter Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands.
Yes, Lord.
And so we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give him praise. And Lady Kim, we are 5 days, there are 5 days left in our fast.
Yes.
And so we have been on the 23-day fast, and information is still there on our website if you want to join us in these last few days as we prepare for Resurrection Sunday. I believe it's going to be an exciting time, and I believe God is going to show up in a powerful and a mighty way this Sunday as we Christians all across the world are celebrating the resurrection. They are celebrating Holy Week experiences Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday services. And we have a very powerful lineup this Friday at 12 noon at ATOP, and we will be streaming that service as well. And so we're looking forward with eager anticipation in terms of what God is going to do as we prepare to move into Resurrection Sunday.
Amen. Amen.
Well, go ahead, Lady Kim.
We are in the First Chronicles, the 21st chapter.
And this is a very powerful chapter. Of course, we finished last week in the 20th chapter, and we saw that David had much success. And here we find in this 21st chapter that right after David and his armies had had tremendous success in the 20th chapter, who shows up?
The devil shows up.
The
devil always show up.
He shows up.
Every time.
Just like we had a powerful time on yesterday, we ought not let our guards down.
That's right.
Because the enemy is lurking in the wings, and he's trying to snatch the victory. He's trying to snatch that seed before it takes root.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to encourage you to continue to stay consistent as we make our way. And don't let your guard down. Continue to keep the armor on and make sure that you're well equipped even as you prepare to make your way throughout the rest of this day and throughout the rest of the week.
Amen. Amen.
And so, Lady Kim, one of the things that we want to share as we prepare to read, I believe, how many? It's about 28 verses there, 29, something in that neighborhood.
There are 30 verses.
30 verses, mm-hmm. Okay. We'll see that David is going through a very difficult time here after he has come off of a very powerful demonstration of God's presence and his power being manifested in victory in the 20th chapter. The enemy shows up, and we'll see that some interesting things begins to take place here. And David finds himself outside of what God would have for him to do. And he's it's almost a signal of him putting more trust in man than he's actually putting in God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, even after we have those high moments and those victories, we kind of relax and we kind of think that we can do it by ourselves, you know, and that we don't need God until the roof is about to cave in or until everything is about to collapse around us. But we need to be consistent in our approach in terms of what God would have for us and not let our guards down.
Amen.
So let's do this, Lady Kim, because Joab is really kind of trying to help David out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the angels are coming to give David all kind of signals and all kind of answers, and people are coming to David on behalf of God to let him know that he's in trouble and that he has some things that he's got to make some choices and some decisions here.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those choices are too good, but David had a mind to admit that he was wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think a lack of admission or confession can cause greater harm.
Amen.
And David understood that, and he didn't waste time once he found out that he had fallen by the wayside in terms of his decision-making process to ask God to forgive him, and he was willing to take the necessary punishment because of his disobedience to God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And as you stated, you know, our inability to acknowledge our mistake,
right,
creates a larger chasm.
That's right.
You know, creates bigger problems mm-hmm. in the future.
Okay.
So I don't know. It just leaped in my spirit that somebody out there mm-hmm. is refusing to fess up.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
And until you confess that situation, mm-hmm. it's, the problem is going to continue to grow.
Okay.
So I urge you to go and confess and make it right and let that person know. And acknowledge what you've done.
Okay.
You know, and when you acknowledge what you do, God can begin to heal that situation. But it's not until you confess mm-hmm. that God will begin to heal that situation. I don't know who that's for, but
that's good.
I felt that in my spirit tonight.
That's good. Prophetess, that's great. That's a great word. And I'm not trying to make fun of that because, you know, when God begins to speak, mm-hmm. you know, and God gives us a clear word to say, many times we don't do what we should do in a time when God is speaking. But that word is for somebody tonight, Lady
Amen.
Kim.
Amen.
And I think that that's going to help them get the breakthrough that they are seeking, because that unconfessed sin is going to tear them down and destroy them. But when they release that confession, it's going to open up a way for them to really get the breakthrough that they're looking for.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
So how many verses would you like me to read?
Well, there are 30 verses, right?
Yes.
Let's read the first 15 and let's stop and see if there's something that we need to really kind of hang our hat on as you read them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read it in several different translations, but I like the Message Bible the best.
Okay.
And so I'm going to read from the Message Bible tonight because it helped bring more clarity for me.
Okay.
And so I hope it brings clarity for you also. We're in 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter, the first verse. Now Satan entered the scene and seduced David into taking a census of Israel.
He seduced David.
Yes.
Okay.
David gave orders to Joab and the army officers under him. Canvass all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and get a count of the population. I want to know the number. Joab resisted. May God multiply his people by hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they all belong to my master, the king? But why on earth would you want to do a thing like this? Why risk getting Israel into trouble with God?
Hmm.
But David wouldn't take no for an answer. So Joab went off and did it, canvassed the country, and then came back to Jerusalem and reported the results of the census. There were 1,100,000 fighting men.
Wow.
Of that total, Judah accounted for 470,000. Joab, disgusted by the command, it in fact turned his stomach, protested by leaving Levi and Benjamin out of the census taking. And God, offended by the whole thing, punished Israel.
Wow.
Then David prayed, I have sinned badly in what I have just done, submitting statistics for trust. Forgive my sin. I've been really stupid. God answered by speaking to Gad, David's pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Go and give David this message, God's word. You have your choice of three punishments. Choose one and I'll do the rest. Gad delivered the message to David. Do you want 3 years of famine? 3 months of running from your enemies while they chase you down? Or 3 days of the sword of God? An epidemic unleashed on the country by an angel of God.
Jesus.
Think it over and make up your mind. What shall I tell the one who sent me? David told Gad, they're all terrible, but I'd rather be punished by God, whose mercy is great, than to fall into human hands. So God unleashed an epidemic in Israel. 70,000 Israelites died. God then sent an angel to Jerusalem, but when he saw the destruction about to begin, he compassionately changed his mind and ordered the death angel, enough is enough, pull back.
Okay, that's verse through verse what?
15. Okay. Well, really, end of 14.
Okay. Enough is enough,
no,
pull back.
No, that was 15a.
15a. All right, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Pull back.
Pull back.
Well, you know, Lady Kim, there's a lot in those 15 verses.
A lot.
And it happened quickly. That's one thing that I saw, how David's stubbornness really triggered something in Joab to really kind of warn him. Mm-hmm. But David's refusal to listen to sound advice unleashed a whole nother set of circumstances that he was not able to control. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to understand when you were talking about how the Satan seduced David, we have to beware of being seduced by substitutes or those things that are not aligning with what God would have for us to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of it. And then the other part I saw, and you can share how God is speaking to you. God, David had a pastor that God used to send a message to. Gad was David's pastor from what you illustrated in that particular reading. And how many times we have to make sure that our ears are sensitive to what God is saying to those whom he has placed over us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And you know, as I read, I had a couple of questions. And one is, I questioned, why did Joab not count in the tribes of Levi and Benjamin? Mm-hmm. You know, he did what David asked him to do. He took a census of all the people, but he left out two major tribes. Mm-hmm. And so I wondered about that. And then the other thing I wondered about was why, let me see, there was a, why, I'm trying to find a particular verse.
Is it about when the angel came?
Yes, why? When Gad said, go and give David the message, God's word, you know, why he had three choices. I mean, all the choices were bad.
Right.
You know, but why did God give him three choices? Mm-hmm. You know, why didn't God just do what he normally does and
just go ahead and move?
Right.
Well, that's a powerful question. And we're in 1 Chronicles 21. Lady Kim has just read the first 15 verses, and we're just kind of going back reflecting. But, you know, I think part of what God was doing when he recognized David's commitment and his loyalty up until that point, he was willing to extend him grace. Mm-hmm. And the choices that were given were all not favorable for David, but he at least gave him an opportunity to take the the better or the worst of the three, or the better of the three.
I don't know.
That's kind of hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I think that shows compassion, and it also speaks to us about God's grace and how David was also a vehicle that God had recognized. And, you know, all of us make decisions and choices that sometimes are not in line with what God would have us to do. And God knows our hearts. Mm-hmm. And David made a rash decision without really spending, because early on in First Chronicles, we see how David consulted with God.
Right.
How he sat with God and he inquired of the Lord, the Bible says. But this time, He just jumped on out there, you know, and it's already clear that the enemy had seduced him. And so I think God showed him compassion and grace in that mm-hmm. situation mm-hmm. by giving him the three choices, which none of them were good, really. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm like David. I would have taken the latter too. Mm-hmm. I would have placed myself in God's hands rather than be put in man's hands.
That's right.
Because
that's
right. The first two had to do with punishment, you know, through man's hands. But the latter that he chose was totally in
left up to God.
Was something that God would do. And all of it God was gonna do, but you right. know, the last was an epidemic where, you know, 70,000 people died. And I thought about COVID, mm-hmm. you know, when I thought about that plague that that God placed on Israel. But Dr. Quali said this also speaks to the response to whether or not God will change God's mind about anything. Mm. And that's true because, you know, God said this is what he was going to do. And then at the last minute,
he changed his mind.
Yeah, he pulled back. He said enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, don't do anything else.
Yeah.
So God had compassion on Israel.
Well, Joab, I think, was troubled with the whole decision from the very outset.
Yes.
And I think in that third or fourth verse, you mentioned that God was really frustrated with what happened, and so was Joab.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had just gotten fed up. You know, sometimes you can go along with what's wrong for so long until you know it's not right. And you say enough is enough as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that had a lot to do with him not counting those other tribes, because he said, no, this doesn't make no sense.
Yeah, he just stopped right there.
Yeah, he just stopped and said, no, I'm not going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think God is pleased with it. And so Joab was a major influence in David's life and was his number one lieutenant, if you will, in terms of leading his armies to victory.
Amen.
And so he didn't put the kind of trust in him that he should have, or listen to the advice from his right-hand man in that situation.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes, and you know, that speaks to leaders too, that you have to listen to those who are who surround you.
Right.
Listen
right.
to wise counsel. I think you said that before. That we must be willing to take wise counsel and not be so stuck on our own ideas and our own motivation. Satan wanted to trick David by counting people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and saying, I have this many people. Maybe he would go up against a nation that was greater than them, and he would say, but I only have this many people. And he'd be trusting in what he could see with his natural eye instead of trusting in God.
That's good.
And so we have to not look at the physical, because sometimes when we're looking at the natural with our physical eyes, it's insurmountable,
mm-hmm.
you know. But when we look at it through spiritual eyes, we know that God can do anything but fail.
That's right.
Sister Darlene says, God delights in us having choices. He is not a dictator, but a loving father who chastises his children sometimes, but shows mercy even when he disciplines us. Choose this day whom you're going to serve.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And so these choices, that was around verse number 12 and 13 in that area that David had, and he decided not to take either, but to allow whatever God's punishment would be to be according to what God decided he would do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. 13 says, David told God that they're all terrible, but I'd rather be punished by God, whose mercy is great, than fall into human hands.
Okay. Any other comments there that we need to look at as you prepare to read the next 15 verses?
No, not right now.
Okay.
All right. Uh-oh. Verse number 15.
In the Message Bible, how does it break it down? Because they do a little different.
It said 15b. So I read part of 15 before I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So 15b says, the angel of God had just reached the threshing floor of Anara, the Jebusite. David looked up and saw the angel hovering between earth and sky, sword drawn and about to strike Jerusalem. David and the elders bowed in prayer and covered themselves with rough burlap. David prayed, "Please, I'm the one who sinned. I'm the one at fault. But these sheep, what did they do wrong? Punish me, not them, me and my family. Don't take it out on them." The angel of God ordered Gad to tell David to go and build an altar to God on the threshing floor of Arana, the Jebusite. David did what God told him in obedience to God's command. Meanwhile, Arana had quit threshing the wheat and was watching the angel. His four sons took cover and hid. David came up to Arana. When Arana saw David, he left the threshing floor and bowed deeply before David, honoring the king. David said to Arana, "Give me the site of the threshing floor so I can build an altar to God. Charge me the market price. We're going to put an end to this disaster." "Oh, master, my king," said Arana, "just take it. Do whatever you want with it. Look, here's an ox for a burnt offering and threshing paddles for the fuel for and wheat for the meal offering. It's all yours." David replied to Arana, "No, I'm buying it from you and at the full market price. I'm not going to offer God sacrifices that are no sacrifice." So David bought the place from Arana for 600 shekels of gold. He built an altar to God there and sacrificed whole burnt offerings and peace offerings. He called out to God, and God answered by striking the altar of the whole burnt offering with lightning. Then God told the angel to put his sword back in his scabbard. And that's the story of what happened when David saw that God answered him on the threshing floor of Arana the Jebusite at the time he offered the sacrifice. At this time, the tabernacle that Moses had constructed in the desert and with it the altar of burnt offerings were set up at the worship center of Gibeon. But David, terrified by the angel's sword, wouldn't go there to pray to God anymore. So David declared, "From now on, this is the site for the worship of God. This is the place for Israel's altar of burnt offerings."
Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? Well, there's quite a few points that we can lift up out of those latter few verses. Lady Kim just shared 15 through 30 of 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter. And we see that David is at a reckoning place in his life. And God has sent forth this angel. And it really had to be a large angel for everybody to see it in the air with his sword drawn. Mm-hmm. And everybody was terrified. Mm-hmm. Everybody stopped what they were doing because they knew that that was probably a sign that God was getting ready to cause destruction upon the land. And as a result, David humbled himself in such a way that God recognized his humility to the point that he was willing to hold back on what he had instructed the angel to do in terms of the destruction. Mm-hmm. Is that pretty much what you see there in those first few verses? And part of what I jotted down was that restoration comes out of devastation. Mm. And so David was at a place where they had lost, 70,000
men
mm-hmm. because
to the plague.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. of the decision that he made. Mm-hmm. And that was no doubt a devastating situation. But because David had a mind to repent and ask God for forgiveness and then offer sacrifice and go to the place where he could worship and commit the offering to God. I think God honored that and lessened the blow, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are you pretty much?
I'm in agreement with that.
Okay, all right. But no, this is a very interesting chapter because it signals for us a whole lot in terms of the choices that we make and how many times we find ourselves falling short and our failure and how we sometimes don't go back and ask God to forgive us or to we don't confess what we have done wrong. We continue to try to override, you know, what we have done wrong and thinking God's going to forget about it. But we can't hide our failures.
That's right.
That's one thing that comes out. And we can't blame other people for what we have done ourselves.
And a lot of people do that.
That's right.
They try to, Dr. Myra, a gone
That's
Dr.
Good.
Myra says,
right,
David took responsibility for his actions. He certainly did take responsibility
That's right.
for his actions. And you know what? I also like the way David wanted to give his sacrifice, you know, because Honora said, you know, take all of this. Take the threshing floor. Take
some
wood to burn.
Take
the offering,
the oxen,
wheat.
Take
the oxen to offer. Put on the altar as a burnt offering. Take the wheat as a food offering. Take it all. You can have it. And David said,
No.
If I take it, then it won't be a sacrifice.
That's right.
So I'm going to pay for it so it'll be a perfect sacrifice. And isn't that what a sacrifice is?
That's right.
Something that is paid for. Jesus paid it all.
My.
Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died on the cross that we might live. A sacrifice is something that you have to give something in to pay into, you know, and then as a result, dividends are received.
That's great.
So you have to expend something. You have to do something. You have to give up something.
It costs you something.
It costs something.
That's right.
That's what a sacrifice
That's
is.
Right.
That's
it
right. It costs something.
That's right. And so it is with us, Lady Kim. We don't want to give a sacrifice. We don't want to give which hurts.
No.
We want to be convenient and what we offer God.
Mm-hmm.
But many times our sacrifice costs.
Yes.
It costs something.
We want a comfortable sacrifice.
We want a comfortable sacrifice.
Uh-huh. We want
something
to give.
Something we won't miss.
Right. Something we won't miss or something that won't stretch us or something
that's
that
right.
won't take us out of our comfort zone.
That's right.
But that's not a sacrifice.
No.
Yes.
And so we have to be mindful of the fact, the other thing I saw here is you can't run from God.
Right.
You may run, but you can't hide. I'll
Absolutely.
Put it that way. And so when we get to a place, and Sister Myra said it very well, that David recognized his sin. He confessed his sin. What did she say there?
He took responsibility,
For his actions. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we come clean with God, then it will lessen the blow. But David admitted his failure. He repented. Although he faced many difficulties and many challenges in his life, David worked to restore his relationship with God and did whatever he needed to do in order to minimize the consequences of his failure in the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got to that place, even in the scripture where you said, he told the angel, no, y'all just take it out on me and my family.
Yes.
And not on the people. And so we have to understand that we have to recognize our own inadequacies and not blame other people for what we have done. And God honors that, I believe, when we confess and come clean with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. You know, that David didn't want to take down everybody.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
He didn't want God to take down everybody.
That's right.
He said, it was my fault alone, punish me and my family. And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why God had mercy on him, that God had compassion on him.
So that's basically the essence of this particular study for this 21st chapter. And when you look at the recap, what would you see would kind of recap this chapter for us, Lady Kim?
Well, you know, this whole 21st chapter is about the census taking us, and they still, we still take censuses today.
Right.
You know, and it's important that we participate in the census.
Right.
Because the census nowadays allows resources to go to your specific community mm-hmm. based on the number of residents in that community. So, you know, it wasn't until a few years ago that I realized the purpose of a census. I thought they were just counting how many people there were just to get a count of how many people were in the United States. But they get a count of how many people there are to equally distribute the money. Because if you have 50 people in, I'll say it like this, if you have 50 people in your neighborhood and it's 150 people in another neighborhood, you need less resources than the people in the other neighborhood.
Right, right.
So they want to make sure it's that resources are allocated as equally as possible.
That's
so
right.
When we do not participate in the census, then we deny our community of valuable resources.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. good.
And so this chronicles the 21st chapter. It wasn't that sophisticated back then, but the census was basically to count and number the people to see how many people were in each tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And so the census was about Israel and Judah, and Satan provoked David to count the people of Israel because he thought that strength was found in numbers and not in God.
Wow.
And so
wow.
our strength is not in numbers.
That's right.
You know, I remember somewhere in the Bible it said, those who are against us are more than those who are with us. But God showed himself mightily
right,
in that
right,
situation.
Right.
When they looked out, they saw a whole lot of people. And you get scared when you see a whole lot of some and you say it's just little old me.
Mm-hmm.
But you and God are a majority.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
You and God are a majority. So you don't have to worry about how many of them there are. You don't have to worry about how little money you have, how much money you have, or how little resources you have, and how much that project, that looming project costs. God owns a cattle on a thousand hills.
That's right.
Getting tongue-tied.
You're preaching, Reverend. No, you're
getting
preaching
a little tongue-tied tonight.
You're preaching tonight.
Amen.
And so you're absolutely right. And so many times we think it's in the numbers when really it's in God.
Right.
You know, we can't go about how many people we might have,
mm-hmm.
but God can make up the difference.
Yes,
you know.
He can.
And so we have to trust God even when we can't trace him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so we have to make sure that we, our allegiance, and we line up with God every time, because man might intend it for evil, but God can turn that thing around
for
his
good. Turn it
around
for good. That's right.
And so even when it looks like the enemy has the upper hand, know that God, you and God, can make a difference.
Yes.
And you can make it happen and be victorious in that situation.
Yes. Lean not on your own understanding. Amen.
That's right,
Dr. Q. We can't lean on our own understanding. If we lean on our own understanding, we'll never get anywhere.
We'd be in trouble, won't we?
Yeah, we would be in trouble.
All right. Well, this has been a powerful time, and it's right on the heels of the 20th chapter where there was a glorious victory and a powerful victory in terms of them conquering these giants. But we have to be mindful of the fact that even when we have victories, we cannot rest and be satisfied with what we have accomplished. But we have to continue to be consistent, and we have to continue to be faithful. We can't take a day off. We got to continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know, our labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And each victory will help you some other to win.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to stay consistent in terms of our listening to God and consulting with God, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And don't get ahead of God, because many times we can get to a place where we think we can do it by ourselves.
Yeah.
But God is still in control.
Yes, he is.
And so we have to make sure that we consult with God, inquire of the Lord.
Yes.
Every time we get ready to step out there.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, we want you to submit your prayer request, and you can put some thumbs up there. We're getting ready to close out this 21st chapter. We just closed it out. Next week, we're going to be in the 22nd chapter of 1 Chronicles. And we want to take a few minutes to get these prayer requests and then just to share about all of the events that's happening this weekend around ATOP, because we're preparing ourselves for a grand celebration of Resurrection Sunday. And we're excited in this Holy Week experience. We have 5 more days in this fast, and we want everyone to be geared up and on point and in place. And I just believe that God is going to do even greater. We saw 7 people come this Sunday. But look, God's got some other people, I believe, that's coming this Sunday that we didn't see yesterday that he's already lining up. And so here's what I want you to do. I really want to encourage all of you who are viewing. And we have probably about 16, 17 people on this platform. I encourage you to invite at least 5 people, each of you to invite at least 5 people to worship this Sunday. And then you'll never know if they're going to come if you don't invite them. Is
Amen.
That right?
That's right.
And so just invite, just make that a point. We have 5 more days left for the fast. You can invite a person a day. And see how many show up on Sunday.
Amen.
I'm going to invite at least 5 people. I probably invite more, but I'm going to invite at least 5. And I don't want to be the only one that's out there inviting people. I want to encourage you to invite people as well.
Amen.
What does Dr. Tunstall say there? Look like I see a comment there.
He said, as pastors, we don't count sheep, we weigh sheep.
Wow. Okay, we weigh them. Mm-hmm. We don't count them. That's great. Mm-hmm. Because you can get in trouble trying to
count folks.
But when you talk about weighing them, you're talking about those who are really on point in terms of their using their gifts and they are committed to the task and they are ready to go and they are all on agreement in terms of being on one accord in terms of the vision and the mission of the church.
Amen.
All right.
Sister Anita, what's her name?
You got another prayer request.
Sister Anita said, pray for her niece. She had a stroke. We want to call her by name.
Okay.
Amen. If you don't mind giving us her name. While Sister Anita is doing that, we want to remind you, as Pastor said, that this Friday is Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We will have 7 last words by 7 dynamic women of the word.
That's right.
So prepare, fasten your seatbelt. Because they're coming at you.
Wow.
And they're coming strong. So we just thank God and we look forward to this coming Friday at 12 o'clock noon. East Coast time, that'll be 10 o'clock a.m.
Mm-hmm.
West Coast time.
West Coast.
It'll be...
We're 2 hours ahead.
Yes. West Coast time, it'll be 10. East Coast time, it'll be 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Mountain time, it'll be 11. So,
how do you remember all of that?
7 last words of Christ, yes. And then on Saturday, we're going to do Carry Our Cross. Carry Your Cross. We're going to carry our crosses down Riverdale Road. We have crosses already made just as a symbol to the community that Jesus died on the cross that we might live. We want as many people as possible to join us. We want a big crowd. Y'all came out for Sister Strut in a big way. Our stuff with those crosses.
That's right.
As we walk down Riverdale Road. And if you can't walk down Riverdale Road, then join us for the prayer drive-through where you don't have to walk anywhere. You can just stand in one place and hold a sign or count cars or you can pray for somebody or you can just stand there and wave as the cars go by, wave cars in so that they can drive through for prayer. And then following the carry your cross at 11 o'clock, we will have our Easter egg hunt. And so this year we're doing something a little different. We're going to have a little movie first, and then we're going to have a craft for the children to do, sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to have our Easter egg hunt. So invite the kiddos out for a fantastic time in the Lord. And then on Sunday morning, during our Sunday school time, we're going to have our young people present the Easter play. Mm-hmm. So come on out to Sunday school at 8:30 a.m. Sunday school begins at 8:30 a.m. And then the play will be during the Sunday school time. So come on out to Sunday school at 8:30 on Sunday morning. And then a powerful worship service will happen at 9:45. So we look to see you all on this weekend, a power-packed weekend. We want to lift up in our prayer Sister Anita Larkin in the loss of her brother. Sister Brenda Smith lost a family member, and I don't remember off the top of my head. I have it written down upstairs. She lost a family member, and I don't want to misspeak on that. We want to lift her up in prayer. Sister Daphne Robinson lost her aunt, and that funeral is this coming Friday. Sister Emma Burnett lost her sister-in-law. We want to lift her up in prayer. The funeral arrangements are incomplete. Sister Juanita Burnett lost her brother in Seattle, Washington. We want to lift her up in a mighty way. They're going to have a memorial service out in Seattle for her brother. And then, of course, Sister Giselle Padilla, we have been announcing that one for a few weeks. But her mother's memorial service is coming up really, really soon. Someone asked that we pray for the city of Covington and Wynn, Arkansas, and the cities in Tennessee that, you know, experienced devastation from the tornadoes that went through the other night. And pray for those volunteers and all the people who are helping those people to recover.
That's great. And as soon as we get information about how we can respond, we will be letting you know. And after we get a clear signal on what we need to do in terms of helping those who have lost completely everything. Some mm-hmm. have lost all of their possession, and they're trying to rebuild and trying to make sense of their lives after this tornado. And it swept across several states, and many are still trying to get their lives back together as a result of what they have lost.
Okay. I was just informed that Brenda lost her uncle. It was an uncle that okay. she lost. Thank you, Sister Antoinette.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we praise God for each of you. Lady Kim is going to close us out with a word of prayer. And don't forget now, we 5 more days of the fast, and we're encouraging you to invite at least 5 people to worship this Sunday. I just believe God, and I want you to believe God with me, that the place is going to be filled, first of all, with His grace and His mercy and His love. And then it's going to be a power-packed time in the Lord.
Amen.
And many are going to come and give their lives to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God in heaven, as we come to the close of this Bible study, we ask, God, that you would continue to walk with us throughout this holy week. Continue to remind us of the great sacrifice that you paid, that we might have life more abundantly. We thank you for your miracles and blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of our lives. We can look back over our life and tell you thank you for all that you've done. But not only look back over our life, we can thank you for what you're doing right now.
Yes, God.
And then, God, we're going to thank you and praise you because we know that you have things in store for us in the future that are going to blow our minds. And so we thank you for that, God. God, we lift up the bereaved to you. The list is growing day by day. We lift up the sick to you, God. We lift up Sister Alice Howard, God, and her husband, Earl. We ask, oh God, a healing, your healing virtue to take place in them, God. We ask, oh God, healing for Brother Willie Watkins in the rehab center, God. Touch him in a mighty way. Continue to touch Sister Lena Jackson, God, and allow her to recover, God. Continue, oh God, to lighten the hearts of the bereaved of Brother Robert Jefferson in the loss of that mother. Sister Anita Larkin in the loss of that brother. Sister Brenda Smith in the loss of that uncle. Sister Daphne in the loss of that aunt. Sister Emma Burnett in the loss of that sister-in-law. Sister Juanita Sawyer in the loss of her brother. Sister Giselle Padilla in the loss of her mother. God, they need you today.
Thank you, God.
Surround them today. Watch over them. Comfort and keep them, oh God, as they go from day to day. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with you. So we thank you that we know that there is a place greater than this place where there'll be no more weeping and crying, and every day will be fantastic. So we thank you, God. We ask your blessings to be upon all the activities that will take place this weekend at Anointed Temple
of
Praise.
God. Yes, God.
Oh, God, we ask that people come out and assist in a mighty way. Let us walk with pride, showing that you sacrificed your life that we might have life abundantly. And then, oh God, let the prayers of the righteous avail much as people come through the prayer drive-through. Break strongholds, oh
Hallelujah.
God. Produce miracles in people's lives, oh God. Let them drive away knowing that they have had an encounter with you. So we thank you, God. We love you. We bless you. Bless Easter Sunday morning service, God, that we might praise you like never before. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. And it is so. Come on, somebody type that in. We're behind the hour, but it is so.
It is so.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Goodbye. Thank you all. Chapter 22 next week. Love you guys. Have a blessed one.